tuned to PRN, your source for the best in progressive radio.
C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi maradare. Figlio mio, accutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a ulo, te va, te viene sempre a calare dal mano bene. Se ci picchia quando si è a calare, figlio mio.
Hello there. Hey. Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And again, you know, another wild week. You wonder when things are going to calm down, if ever. On the presidential reality show, woo! Man. This guy Trump's out of his mind. You know, I used to run political campaigns. That's how I began my career. Out of graduate school, way back when. I ran them in Westchester County. For all of those of you who aren't from around these parts, that's right north of New York City. It was the richest county in America at the time. And, you know, I learned the trade. I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University. And I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. So I have a little background in the field. And I have to tell you that this guy's out of his mind as Trump, because we had forecast him to win the election. But we also made it very clear that, being that there were so many wild cards out there, and him being the wildest of the wild cards, and that could destroy him. You know, Trump went to military school. And the reason he went to military school, we're the same age, is that the greatest threat your parents could give you when they couldn't control you in those days, because they did it to us, they threatened you to send you to military school. And he was so out of his mind and so uncontrollable and so egotistic and narcissistic that, phew, off he went up to Cornwall on the Hudson. Now, you can imagine, this is the middle of nowhere. You know, it's in north of West Point, south of Kingston, in the middle of nowhere. It's a beautiful place, by the way. I mean, the area is great. But, you know, as a young guy, you know, getting dressed up in a uniform every day and having to make your bed and eat crappy food isn't, you know, what any hip teenager wants to do. But when you're so out of your mind and you can't control your ego and you're so narcissistic that you don't listen to anybody but yourself, woof. Well, if you go to military school, and of course, the cats still actually like that stuff, too. Yeah, you know, they've been playing with toy soldiers since they were kids, so they wanted to continue playing with them. You know, they got that mentality as well. But Trump wasn't of that. He's of the out of your mind, you can't control you, you're a little spoiled brat, you came from a rich family, lived in an exclusive enclave in Jamaica, Queens. You had everything you wanted and more, but everything you wanted and more wasn't enough to fill your ego. So they sent you away. So it's not as though he doesn't have a campaign staff around him that are advising him what to do and to shut his mouth and stop talking about these issues and people that have nothing to do with the greater campaign message. But when you're out of your mind and narcissistic and sociopathic and an egomaniac, You don't listen to anyone but yourself. So he's destroying his candidacy, and you've noticed that the Clinton campaign has been totally quiet. They're letting him self-destruct. Also interesting how the media, CNN has to be called the Clinton News Network. Beginning on Saturday, they started running feature story that Mark Cuban, this billionaire who owns sports teams, is campaigning for Clinton. 4 days, it was the top three stories. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yesterday, this is on the website, the lead story was Governor Christie's former aide. This is the lead story on the website of the Clinton News Network that I used to call the Cartoon News Network, that is better known as CNN, is going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Who cares? What do I care what Mark Cuban does? What do I care what this woman who was a former aide of Christie votes for? So you can see how they're really swaying this election and pushing it toward the Clinton campaign. And then when you look, by the way, again, how stupid Trump is to go on with a guy like Stephanopoulos on ABC. Stephanopoulos worked for Bill Clinton. He was a top guy in his first term in office. And you're going to go on and debate him? And again, Trump is so thin on the facts that they get in the way. And he says a lot of stupid stuff that doesn't add up. And the reports are that he's tweeting all the time on Facebook, watching TV or on the phone. So he's not learning. As a trend forecaster, I have to learn all day long. I'm reading constantly. I get hard copies of newspapers like the old days delivered to me, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Financial Times. It's important, by the way, as a trend tracking tip, to look at a newspaper because it shows you the layout of the story's importance, what they're focusing on and where things are going. And also, by reading it in hard copy like that, I underline the salient points of the story. And that helps me not only recognize the important parts of the story, but by underlining, it's another action taken. And that helps you remember what you just read, as far as I see it. So I've been doing this for, 36 years, and that's the way I do it. But anyway, going back to the Trump campaign, then, of course, Soros is dumping money into Hillary Clinton's campaign. Warren Buffett's campaigning for her. Soros, an estimated $25 million. But you don't hear the liberals coming out against that, do you? No. When the Koch brothers do it for the Republicans, the little liberals scream and yell and cry. But when Soros and Warren Buffett do it, then it's different. And by the way, subscribers to the Trends Journal know this to be a fact. We do trend alerts each week. And a trend alert that we did going back to when the primary was going on was about Warren Buffett and how we saw this whole setup happening and how when you really look at it, how much a part of the Clinton campaign, the billionaire class is. Again, I just mentioned this guy, Mark Cuban, a billionaire, going around campaigning for Clinton. I mentioned that George Soros is donating a reported $25 million into the Clinton campaign. I mentioned how Warren Buffett is going around as well, not only campaigning for her, but actually campaigning with her. So this is trend forecasting. You go back to March 1st, And you can see how entwined the campaigns are. Here was the Trend Alert headline. Warren Buffett dead wrong on U.S. future. Shilling for Clinton? That was the headline. When Warren Buffett speaks, the media world listens. And when it comes to deal making, not even Donald, I am the greatest, Trump, comes close to Buffett. But when it comes to trend forecasting outside Wall Street, the Oracle of Omaha is either far removed from Main Street, or as a major financial backer and Hillary Clinton supporter, is he shilling for her by demeaning many Americans, including us, who have documented an America in serious economic decline? Warren Buffett, this is a story, quit your crying, the U.S. is fine. And what we did was we took pieces from a CNBC story where Warren Buffett says that, quote, it's an election year and the candidates can't stop speaking about our country's problems. As a result of this negative drumbeat, many Americans now believe that their children will not live as well as they do themselves. That view is dead wrong. The babies being born in America today, the luckiest crop in America. Oh, isn't that, that's great language, isn't it? Babies born, luckiest crop. Yeah, I guess the Iowa farmer puts that planting season together, declared Buffett. Buffett highlighted data that showed U.S. per capita growth is six times higher than it was in 1930, the year of his birth. 1930, the year of his birth. That's following the crash in 1929, the Great Depression. He's dead wrong, but they give him a free pass because, hey, the prostitutes work for the media, and they bow down and suck up to their corporate johns and their Washington johns. No, America's children being born today are not the luckiest crop in America, and the children are not doing as well as their parents. All you have to do is look at the millennial generation and only look at the facts, Mr. Buffett. And the facts are these. They're earning a lot less than the boomer generation. The jobs stink. Entrepreneurism among millennials is at a record low, as is home buying. That's right. That age group, since they've been tracking this data, has the lowest percentage of owning a home than any other generation, Mr. Buffett. So you're wrong. But they don't call him out when he's wrong. But the point I want to make here is how he's shilling for Clinton and how it's all the Wall Street gang. We have the proof. I'll keep going. And I go on to say, you know, that some 41% of children today are born to unwed mothers. Some 74% are women without bachelor's degrees. And women in the workforce make up two-thirds of the low-wage earners. Thus, according to Child Trends data, children born to unmarried mothers are more likely to grow up in a single-parent household, experience unstable living arrangements, live in poverty, and have socio-emotional problems. That's according to Child Trends data, and we're talking 41% of the children today, 74% of which are being born to mothers without bachelor's degrees. So you can see that they're not the luckiest crop because they're growing up in poverty. As for the rest of the luckiest crop, 51% of Americans earn less than $30,000 per year, and median household income adjusted for inflation is below 1999 levels. Among developed nations, the gap between rich and poor is the widest in the United States. The list goes on. Now, this is our trend post. No one would call Warren Buffett stupid or incapable of accessing data. Who wouldn't call him shrewd? Buffett's headline-grabbing story was aimed at the biggest target in the presidential reality show and timed to perfectly coincide with Hillary Clinton's new campaign message. Taking aim at the Trump slogan, "Make America Great Again," in her victory speech in South Carolina Saturday, remember this is March 1st we're writing this, and repeated following her Super Tuesday wins, Clinton magically echoed donor Buffett's bullet points. Quote, "Despite what you hear, we don't have to make America great again," she said. "America has never stopped being great." All right? She echoed his talking points. Now let's fast forward to the Democratic National Committee meeting in Philadelphia. What was the slogan from virtually all of the speakers, including Obama, and ending with Hillary Clinton? And on and on. "Despite what you hear, we don't need to make America great again. America has never stopped being great." So, the billionaire slogan in a billionaire candidacy pumped up by the billionaire class. And I'm not making this up. Excuse me. You look at the data, and it's proven. Hedge funds are the biggest donors to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Again, everybody talks about the Koch brothers, but no one's talking about the hedge funds that back Clinton. Again, I'm not making this up. Wall Street Journal. This past weekend. Hedge funds are playing a bigger role in 2016 than in past elections. And Hillary Clinton has been the single biggest beneficiary. Owners and employees of hedge funds have made $122.7 million in campaign contributions this election cycle. And Donald Trump got a total of $19,000 of it. The top five contributors to pro-Clinton groups are employees, owners, or owners of private investment funds, according to federal data released last week and compiled by OpenSecrets.org. Compiled by Open Secrets because the media prostitutes want to keep it a secret. And it has to be done by a private group. And again, the media to me is nothing more than a propaganda arm for Washington and Wall Street. So the facts are showing what's going on here. And the facts are the election's rigged. Only 9% of Americans chose Trump and Clinton as nominees. While Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will represent the entire country, the Americans who selected them are a small part of it. The United States is home of 324 million people. 103 million of them are children, non-citizens, or ineligible felons, and they do not have the right to vote. 88 million of eligible voters do not vote at all, even in general elections. An additional 73 million did not vote in the primaries this year, but will most likely vote in the general election. The remaining 60 million people voted in the primaries, and about half chose candidates who eventually dropped out. Just 14% of eligible adults, 9% of the whole nation, voted either Mr. Trump or Mr. Clinton. It's not a democracy, it's a rigged system. Democrats and Republicans. Excuse me. To me, we need a new system. The system is as antiquated as the educational system. We're in the 21st century. Neither of them are working. We need a third-party movement with real strength and a reflection to follow the values and the needs of we the people. And that does not exist. In a campaign environment where a billionaire buys his, a billionaire with a big mouth and a bigger attitude buys his way into the race to the White House, and a candidate being totally funded by the richest people in the United States. So there we have it. We have a dysfunctional system being led by provenly dysfunctional people. So moving ahead and about the dysfunction and the lies, if you remember the Democratic campaign, very little talk was about how we're going to end these wars in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. And they bring these generals in there, generally big-mouthed people, to keep pumping up the war talk. Both parties, by the way. Obama, the Peace Prize president, Nobel Peace Prize president, we should call it a Nobel piece of crap, because that's what that prize is bombing away now in Libya. That's right. Our money going to bomb Libya. Bombing Syria is not enough. We need to bomb Libya as well. This is a war started by Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, and Barack Obama. Gaddafi has to go. They turned the place into a hellhole. Gaddafi did nothing to threaten the national security of the United States. Declared war without approval by Congress, and Congress has not approved war since World War II. They give El Presidente of los Estados Unidos, the banana republic that used to be a democracy, the right to declare war. This is hardly making the news that we're bombs away over Libya. And again, it's under the pretext we're wiping out them ISISs. These is precision bombs. Oh, yeah, the precision bombs the United States dropped a week and a half ago that killed over 200 innocent Syrian civilians. But that's not worthy of the news either. This is a violation of our Constitution. And Obama, with that arrogant attitude, keeps his murder record building, as his liberal allies cover up for his acts of treason against the Constitution, and the media ignores it. bombs away over Libya, more failed policies to double up on the other failed policies, and there is no protests. There's no call to occupy peace. Matter of fact, you know, one of my tenants in my building over here, we held Occupy Peace. Is someone very well connected to the richest people on the planet? Yep. One may even say a bloodline. We asked this person to help donate to OccupyPeace.us, and he gave us the grand total of not one penny. Not one penny for peace. Now Obama's slaughtering innocent civilians in Libya under the guise that we got precision bombs and we's only bombing them ISISes and we've been bombing them ISISes forever and soon we're going to melt them out. And the people buy the crap. His popularity rating is moving higher again. He's lied his way into office and he's lying his way out. More war, no peace. Afghanistan, a total disaster. They keep talking about the Taliban. The Taliban were ruling the joint before George Bush launched the war. Oh, and that, yeah, Bernie Sanders voted for. Hey, Bernie Sanders evaporated, huh? Woof! Wow, did he disappear? Yeah, but he'll be back to suck in those people that believed him to vote for Hitlery. Anyway, you see all the media about the Taliban, we got to stop the Taliban. Why? This was their they were ruling the country. They didn't do anything to us. The Taliban didn't attack the United States. According to the 28 pages released that were highly redacted of the 9/11 Commission, it was what, 15 Saudis out of the 19 that allegedly flew their planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon? So why are we bombing Afghanistan? And why do we hate the Taliban? What did they do to us? Can anybody tell me? Oh, they allowed Osama bin Laden to be there. Well, that's a lot of BS. Because if you read the facts, the Taliban said that they will do anything they can to get him out of there. We're not responsible for it. And George Bush said, we have no time to talk. We only have time to bomb. And 90% of the American people believed it. Tied yellow ribbons around everything didn't move and waved American flags from everything that did move or stood still. So now that war keeps raging and Obama lied. We were going to, in his State of the Union address a few years ago, said we'd be out by now. But now they're going to put some 10,000 troops there. Over 6,000 troops in Iraq. Bombs away in Syria. I wonder why people hate us and how radicalism is created. I can't figure it out. Couldn't be because you're destroying people's countries and their lives, killing everybody that they love and leaving them with no future. Nah, that couldn't be it at all. We gotta get tougher on this. You elect me, I'm gonna bring torture to a new level. That's right. That was a Trump line, wasn't it? Whew. Motto. And just keeps getting lower and lower the bar. So that's what's going on the geopolitical front, and it's just heating up more. The rhetoric against Russia, again, outright lies, and they get away with it. Trump was on with that Stephanopoulos character on ABC, Yeah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's about it, man. That's how stupid it is. You learn the alphabet right away, and it doesn't, you know. First graders. And that's what it is, first grade news. And they got this shill. He's a shill. He's a shill for the Democratic Party. He was a top Clinton guy in his office, and here he has his own TV show. And people take him seriously? Anyway, during that interview on Sunday, Trump was saying that Putin did not use military force to invade Afghanistan. And Trump was 100% correct. Russia never invaded Afghanistan. They have lies about the Russians using force. But Crimea, which voted with international observers, by the way, that the New York Times says they didn't have, they had, 83% of the people turned out to vote, and over 96% of them voted to go with Russia rather than a decaying and declining Ukraine. Now, Crimea was part of Russia longer than America's been a country. But yet Stephanopoulos makes up the lie that Russia invaded, and then they quote Hillary Clinton's chief policy advisor, this guy Jake Sullivan, saying that Putin used force in Crimea, which is an overt, outright lie. It's pure propaganda that the media is promoting. It's a lie. It's not an issue of whether or not you see it in the same way. It's a lie. It was not an invasion, as Russia, or excuse me, as Germany invaded Poland, as the United States invaded Iraq with troops and bombs and bullets. It's a lie. Russia did not invade Ukraine, as the United States invaded Afghanistan with bullets, bombs, troops, occupying forces. Crimea was part of Russia longer than America has been a country. When it was part of the Soviet Union under Khrushchev, who was Ukrainian, he then said Ukraine could be a separate entity, but they were still under the power of the USSR. So he gave them nothing. But when the USSR broke up, then it separated. However, the Russian fleet never left. They'd made a deal to stay there in Crimea. That's their warm water port. They did not invade, but the New York Times write these stories about how they sent in, you know, troops, but they were, really, you couldn't tell they were troops, and they spread fear throughout the area so that people would vote. Pure propaganda. Matter of fact, talking about pure propaganda, if you want to see a well-written piece in how embedded the New York Times, this is the New York Times, by the way, that sold us the Iraq War, that Saddam Hussein had them aluminum tubes and was baking that yellow cake, yeah, to bring weapons of mass destruction to a neighborhood near you. If you go to the World Socialist website, WSWS.org, and under commentary, from WikiLeaks, Clinton Email Archive, the New York Times chief military correspondent met secretly with State Department in 2010 to bury Iraq war logs. And it says how the Fourth Estate is no longer existing. That's what they used to call the media, the Fourth Estate. The executive branch, the judicial branch, presidential, executive, presidential, congressional, and then the Fourth Estate was to watch over all three of them. That's gone. So I suggest you read this article. It's very in-depth, well-written, and shows you why I call the media prostitutes. Nothing more than John's. So let's move on now and take a look at some economic news, because a lot's going on. This past Friday, the gross domestic product numbers came out in the United States. They weren't very good. They came in at a rip-roaring 1.2%, according to the Commerce Department. When you go back to the Democratic election and how Hillary keeps promoting the wonderful job that Obama did in regenerating growth following the panic of 08, the facts speak to themselves, and I've spoken about them many times, that only the equity markets and the 1% who are in that group are the ones that have benefited, while real income has declined, again, to below 1999 levels, median household income when adjusted for inflation. The millennials are making much less than the boomers were, or even Gen Xers. You're looking at household ownership in the United States is the lowest since they've been keeping the, you know, price since, you know, the early 1960s. You're looking at labor force participation rate going back to 1970s lows. And remember, women weren't in the workforce as they are today, so that labor force participation rate is even worse than it appears, and it appears very bad. But if you go back, all they were doing was promoting how wonderful this economy is doing and how we should be all applauding and bowing down to the commander-in-chief for the wonderful job, and Hillary's going to keep it going. Well, I mentioned the GDP numbers. In fact, U.S. economic growth since the recession ended is tracking at its weakest pace of any expansion since 1949. Huh? Isn't that great? Businesses aren't investing. Durable good orders in June plunged. They were looking for them to increase about 2.6%. They were down 4%. Consumers are spending more, but they're borrowing more. And they're very concerned about this. And you're also looking at the student debt crisis is worsening. Already, with the defaults coming about, ...16% of the roughly 43 American students Americans with student debt is going to leave we, the taxpayers, with $125 billion just on the ones that are defaulting now. We're going to have to pick up the bill, the deal they make with the banks, so the banks can make all the money, and then when they don't pay, we got to pay the banks for the losses that they're taking. It's not capitalism, it's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. And that student debt total is about $1.3 trillion, which is bigger than even credit card debt. ~16% were already in default. And again, this whole college industrial complex, what a joke. You go to college to learn things, ostensibly, not to watch NCAA basketball games and all this other stuff. And that's what's driving up the price. All these sports and all these other activities that don't prepare you for life, but give you a good college life, which is very separate. So it's driving up the costs. And these ridiculous salaries that the presidents of these universities get, that's a whole nother sham in itself. So what we have on the economic front, it's not only a decline in the U.S., take a trip over to Europe. The Eurozone's gross domestic product in this last quarter, it barely budged. It went up just 0.3%. I'm bringing this out and making a point of it because this is despite trillions of dollars of central banks, yuan, yens, dollars, you name it, euros being pumped into the system since the panic of 08, and it's done nothing to regenerate growth of the general economy, only to increase the wealth of the already richest 0.01%. And that's a fact, because as you know, 62 people have more wealth than half the world's population combined. And in the United States, 400 people, the richest, have seen their wealth double since 2009, when Obama became president, are now worth approximately $2.5 trillion. Try to get a penny for peace out of any of them, boy. Good luck. And then the people's knee-jerk reaction, by the way, when I ask for money to help support OccupyPeace.us and how difficult it is to raise money, they say, well, you know, peace isn't profitable, war is. They keep throwing out that same stupid line. No, investing in peace has nothing to do with the military-industrial complex. Those are individual decisions to invest in peace. And then let's take a trip over to Japan. Japan's economy has been going in and out of recession for years. Real wage growth has declined. So last week, they were waiting for the Bank of Japan, which has negative interest rates, to drive them further into negative territory. There's never been such a thing as negative interest rates. But now, of course, they have them. They didn't bring them lower because the negative interest rates didn't do anything to boost the economy. So, Then they waited for Abenomics. Shinzo Abe is the prime minister there. And when he was elected, he began this Abenomics scam of more quantitative easing and dumping money into the economy to juice it, which has failed, the Japanese economy. So they expected more stimulus. That didn't happen. So now the Nikkei is heading back toward bear market territory, and the Asian markets are declining because not enough stimulus. The only thing that's propping up these markets is cheap money, and it's failed. The central banks are shooting blanks, which is why I believe gold is a good bet. And again, I do not give financial advice. Gold is up about 28% since the new year. The reason gold is going up is because they cannot raise interest rates. If they raise interest rates, what's going to happen to the housing market? If you have to pay more for a mortgage. Already, we saw in the decline in new applications for mortgages, even with interest rates near record lows. If you raise them, it'll become much worse. If you raise interest rates, the speculators in the stock market who are borrowing money for free, that'll slow down too. So they're in a rate trap. If they raise interest rates, all of these countries around the world that borrowed trillions of dollars when Uncle Sam was doling it out with quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy, they have to pay back that money. Well, if they raise interest rates, the dollar gets stronger, which means they have to pay it back with more dollars, and their currencies are declining, and they can't pay it back already. So they're in an interest rate trap. They can't raise interest rates. On the negative side of it, the lower side, if they lower interest rates, what happens? Well, the banks are already suffering as insurance companies and pension funds that rely on higher interest rates to remain profitable and solvent. There's a crisis brewing already because of this, especially with pensions and insurance companies. Look at their stocks and banks. So that's going to put them at higher risk, and it could ignite an equity market panic if they lower interest rates further. And also they risk currency depreciations, which means, for example, in China, with the yuan being depreciated, that money's flooding out of the country. Hey, a lot of it's going into Vancouver. It's going into Vancouver at such a level that now they're putting on a tax in Vancouver of 15% of foreign investment money coming in to buy property because the people there can't afford it. The prices of Vancouver property have gone up over 30% this year. So that's what currency devaluations mean, that they're going to shoot the money out of the countries where the currencies are devaluing and moving it into hotter markets and creating bubbles. They're in a trap. So, considering that we believe they're going to keep interest rates low, That means the dollar stays weak. It's bullish for gold. Considering that they're going to keep interest rates low, they're devaluing their currencies. So, for example, if you're living in China and the yuan's being devalued in front of you, what would you rather own, yuan or gold? Suppose you live in Venezuela and you see inflation that's now going to be estimating to top 1,000%. Would you rather own bolivars or would you rather own gold? That's the way we look at it. If, with interest rates now in negative territory and $13 trillion of bonds yielding negative interest rates, what would you rather own? Cashing in that bond in 20 years that is going to guarantee you, giving you less than what you bought it for today in 20 years when you cash it in? That's right, you'll get back less than what you bought it for. Or would you believe that in that 20-year, 10-year, whatever period it is, gold will be worth more than it is today? So again, think for yourself. As we see it, gold is a better deal as far as its chances of going up. And just to show you how out of touch they are, the New York Fed president, William Dudley, you go back to May, there was a chorus of him and other Fed presidents chanting out that the economy was strong and to expect interest rates to rise in June and July. You see, it's not in the best interest of the central banks to have gold go up because it shows how valueless their fiat currencies, digital currencies printed on nothing and backed by nothing, are worth. And speaking of digital currencies, why I'm not a fan of Bitcoin, what, $72 million worth of Bitcoin was just hacked. And that knocked down the prices significantly. But going back to why they want to drive down the price of gold, what they did, a chorus of Fed presidents chanted throughout May how interest rates were going to go up in June and July. His quote was, quote, is Dudley, the medium-term risks to the U.S. economic growth outlook are somewhat skewed to the down... Oh, excuse me, that's today. I jumped ahead of myself. What he said... back in June was that, quote, a tightening in the summer, the June-July time frame, is a reasonable expectation. Excuse me, this is what he said in May and other Fed people. A tightening in the summer, the June-July time frame, is a reasonable expectation. So they were saying interest rates were going to go up. That drove down gold prices to almost below $1,200. And as we speak now, gold is essentially $150 higher. Because just this Sunday, the same Dudley said that he was cautious and that the Fed should act on the side of caution and not act too quickly in raising interest rates because, quote, the medium-term risks to the U.S. economic growth outlook are somewhat skewed to the downside. Now, wait a minute. May, June, July, 2 months later, beginning of August, your concept of the U.S. economy changed so dramatically, where one time you're shilling to drive down the price of gold by saying the dollar was going to go higher, and it, as along with interest rates, and now you're backtracking. There is no recovery. It's been a cover-up. Again, think for yourself. Stay tuned. And watch the war talk heating up. Again, our president, without congressional approval, is bombing Libya. Our president, without congressional approval, is bombing Syria. We're back in Iraq. We never left Afghanistan. And as I see it, anyone that supports a criminal act is an accessory to the crime. So if you call yourself a Republican or a Democrat, you're supporting murder and thievery. I just went through the list of thievery, how they steal our money and give it to the banks and the big guys. So it's up to you. Do whatever you believe in your soul and your heart and what you think is moral. So here we are, another week's gone by and another week ahead. Donald Trump imploding. And Obama dropping bombs that are exploding. Whew. Crazy days. This is Gerald Celente. And that's some of Trends This Week. Thanks for tuning in. Mia cutterara, mamma mia pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi ola, i te viene sempre a calare dal manerene. Se ci picchia, quando si è a calare, picchia mia.